It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. Senate Republicans released their proposed $55.5 billion restart and recover budget. Senator Linda Wilson is the budget lead for Republicans.
11 months ago today, the legislature was on the eve of adjourning. At that time, we were less than 2 weeks into the state of emergency declared by the governor. One of our final acts on sine die was to appropriate a big chunk of money for the state coronavirus response. Less than 2 weeks after we adjourned, the governor ordered the first lockdown of our state. Since then, we've seen our families and our students and our workers and our employers struggle like never before. They have been put in an entirely unprecedented situation, created in large part by a form of government none of us have ever seen. And speaking about struggles, I'd like to share an email I received last week from a grandmother. I'm asking for mental health, especially for young people, to be more of a concern to everyone. My precious grandson, Trevor James, took his own life this week. He would have been 14 on February 22nd. He loved school and playing trumpet in the band. He was an excellent student, but could not thrive in the online world. He was an active fisher and hunter, but even the outdoors were shut down. He was despondent over his life, the politics, the pandemic, the riots. It became all so much, and he couldn't stay. Please make decisions that make a difference in mending the wounds of the nation so we have a generation to give it to. That was a really tough email to get from her and read last week. So the members of our caucus have been listening to the people this whole time, and we have a good sense of what they need. When it comes to taxes and spending, the people of Washington need the legislature to act a reasonable and responsible way. They've been harmed enough already, and they don't need us to do more harm, either by cutting services or raising taxes. I doubt any legislative caucus has ever put a biennial budget proposal on the table this early in the session. But this unprecedented situation we're in calls for an unprecedented response. The people of our state need to know it's possible, even during a pandemic, to have a budget that doesn't cut services and without more taxes. And even better, this budget would capitalize on long-range opportunities that will pay dividends for decades across all of Washington. Working with others in our caucus, including Senator Brown, we were very intentional about what made this list, and frankly, I'm amazed at how much this budget would accomplish while still living within our means. It really is a budget for Washington's future, for all of the people across our state. With that, I'd like to share some of the highlights. So we're on a new budget path. So we want our attention to lean toward restarting. So, and to that end, we want to reopen schools. So in March of 2020, 11 months ago, Governor Inslee shut down every public school in the state of Washington. Fast forward to today, nearly 80% of students in Washington are still learning at home. For almost one entire year, these students have had no contact with a teacher, no in-person contact with friends at school, no classmates, and working moms became full-time teachers. Our budget ensures we will do everything possible to get Washington students back in the classroom. We can't afford to wait months and years for a broken system to fix itself. How many more doctors need to say students should be in school in person? When will we follow the science? Even the governor has stated it's time to go back to school. And from this, from a state whose paramount duty is to provide for ample education, there is no doubt that this is the equity issue of our time. So to that end, we have put about $824 million of federal money into the school districts. We've tied that to the reopening. We also are concerned about contact tracing and testing and other issues that we can use the money for. $200 million also goes to the schools for that. And then we referenced a bill which have give us the metrics for reopening our schools. And quite frankly, many of them are meeting it, but they're not open. I would like to go toward our behavioral health, and I'd like to turn it over to our one of the great leaders in our caucus, Senator Sharon Brown, to have a discussion about that.
Thank you very much. And thanks for this opportunity to talk about an issue that's so very important to us as a state. As that grandmother so eloquently put it, You know, we need to mend the wounds of a nation. And what Senator Wilson and I have attempted to do is certainly mend the wounds of this state through our behavioral health program. This budget makes behavioral health a priority. Behavioral health was a crisis before the pandemic. And now that everyone has been put into lockdown, it's certainly done nothing but explode with regard to the need for behavioral health services. Now, people have been isolated from families, friends for 1 year. They've been removed from their livelihoods and their sense of self-worth. This budget stops this crisis, and it stops it now. In the two-year budget, we put $300 million into behavioral health. We create 330 behavioral health community health beds versus the governor's 42. We invest in mental health response teams, so there is a mobile crisis response team in every corner and in between in this state. We increase provider rates by 15% to ensure access to Medicaid clients. We provide funding for a statewide youth suicide prevention tip line modeled off the success of those in other states. Senator Wilson read you a very impactful letter from a constituent in her district. I also have two constituents whose children died by suicide, one in November and one in December, and they both cite the reason is this global pandemic and the isolation that is felt. This budget addresses behavioral health in a meaningful way, and it addresses it now. Thank you.
So to that end, we also are, the Working Family Tax Credit has been a program that was created in 2008, but the legislature never funded it. And since 2018, the legislature has repeatedly increased taxes, often falling on the working and the middle class. So the last tax relief for families was the SRC led first in the nation tuition reduction. And so we are, this tax credit will reduce the tax burden for working families as much as $1,000 a year. On to the recovery. So we are keenly aware of how the government is imposed shutdowns and restrictions have adversely impacted employers and the employees. There have been 40,000 businesses that have closed to this point. Fair to say, probably most of them are small businesses. For many of the people, it has been their lifelong dream to have their own business. Their hopes and their dreams have been shattered along with their employees' livelihoods over the course of this past year. What they want is to get back to work. With the unpredictable and unstable business environment created by the government directives, that businesses are looking to us to help grant them relief. We have appropriated $750 million toward grants that businesses can apply for to help them aid in their recovery. And as you can see, that's what we've done. And the ability for some of these larger grants, because there's fixed costs that some of these businesses have, and they need a larger amount of money to help get them over the hump. And we're hoping that we can do that. That's why there's such a large amount dedicated to this. And of course, childcare, we know that childcare is an integral part of our business community. So if we don't have childcare there for our mom and dad who go back to work and have their children in a safe place, then they can't go back to work. So this will be also affect their economy. So we've done good things with the childcare and helping reduce copays for families. And of course, we're eliminating the B&O tax on manufacturing, because we know that manufacturing is over the course of the last many years, we've lost 70,000 jobs in manufacturing. And in a state that is the most trade dependent state in the nation, I think that we need to make sure that our manufacturing sector is alive and thriving. We need those products to continue our exportation. We've dedicated sales tax on vehicles to transportation, and we expect to have $23 billion over the course of the next 16 years for maintenance and new infrastructure. And of course, as we go through this entire this pandemic, we've noted that broadband has always been an issue, especially in the rural area, but now we're finding out it's even over the course of this year found that it's over urban, suburban, and rural. So you've got mom and dad at home. Kids are still at home on their Zoom meetings with their school and having to work, which also increases the internet that you need to have available. And so we know that this is a big important issue, and we intend to address that in this budget. So the bottom line here is that we have a new budget path that will reopen our schools, protect our most vulnerable, and rebuild our economy now and into the future without more taxes. Our budget can do this. Despite what you may have heard, we do not have a deficit in our budget, and we can do this without more taxes. We have the money. What we need now is the vision and the leadership.
Find us online at src.wastateledge.org. Follow us on YouTube and Twitter at Washington SRC and on Facebook at Washington Republican Senate Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus.